Today on The Travel Guys.
Tom is away and Gwen Duncan joins me in studio in the travel news. American Airlines is changing terminals at SAC International. We have our first ever nonstops to Boston, and a valuable new Southwest destination is coming.
At 3:17, we will tell you about the other Rose Parade, the one in Portland every June.
At 3:25, Gwen gives us the deal of the week and tells us how to recognize a bad deal as well as a good one.
And at 3:35, we feature a story on three Northern California sightseeing trains.
At 3:40, road reporter Ramona Googe joins us with an update on visits to Yosemite National Park.
And our final guest at 3:50 has tickets to give away to an exclusive KVIE event.
But you'll have to convince us that you are worthy of the prize. Keep listening. It's a busy Sunday afternoon right here with The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Ah, good afternoon, everyone. Mark Hoffman here with Gwen Duncan. Tom Romano has one half of the Travel Guys is out traveling. I should know where he is since I think he gets his tickets from Sports Leisure Vacations, but I have no idea where Thomas is. Anyways, we are the Travel Guys brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I am Mark Hoffman. Tom Romano is out on the road today. And we have a great program for you. If you heard in the headlines there, we've got some terrific guests. This is kind of a Northern California show today. And it along with that, we've got three sightseeing trains from one in Sacramento, one in Oakdale, and, of course, the famous skunk train up in Fort Bragg. Chris Hart will be along after the news at the bottom of the hour to talk about that. Ramona Googe comes by to talk about Yosemite National Park. We've got some tickets for you at the end of the program to give away to a special KVIE event later on in March. We have four tickets. It's for Thursday, the 26th of March. So it'll be very important that you're available to go and also that you have an interest in an evening called Uncorked, an evening with Frankie Moreno. We have four tickets to give away. They cost $120 a pair if you were to buy them on the street. So if that's something that you're interested in, hang around until about 3:50 this afternoon and we will give you the opportunity to win those tickets. So without further ado, we got a full agenda today. Let's get to the travel news. Delta Airlines has joined United Airlines by announcing they will serve only Starbucks coffee throughout its network, either Pike's Place Roast or its Ready Brew Italian Roast Decaf. I'm not a Starbucks coffee drinker, but for those of you who are, I know you will know that right away. The Pike's Place Roast is kind of their generic blend. Delta expects to serve 68 million cups of Java in 2015, brewed from 1.7 million pounds of coffee beans. Kind of interesting. Speaking of Delta Airlines, Delta on Thursday took down the award charts from their website. Indeed, Delta Airlines has taken down all of the award charts for all of their mileage programs off of their website as of Thursday. As of this morning, they still weren't back up. Delta's comment is also a little bit suspicious because it seems to indicate that, we have we don't plan on returning the charts, and the company's rationale was why. Delta's expanded search capabilities and calendar at Delta.com offer more flexible and accurate view of Delta of award prices. I will suggest to you that what is coming is the elimination of the low fare award ticket, and what Delta Airlines is doing is saying basically, we'll decide what the ticket is worth when you want to buy it and when you want it on your award, and if you have enough miles, fine. If you don't, why then you're out of luck. Look for other airlines. This is part of the revenue pricing scheme, so look for tickets to be priced more in line with what they cost in terms of the miles that they will cost you, as opposed to just being able to get across country for a set rate. All right, if you go to travelguysradio.com, you can find not only all the things that we're talking about, links to all the things our guests talk about and we talk about today, but you can also find some other interesting things, including some of the stories that we have. In Sacramento, we've got some news on the airport front that's pretty exciting, actually. It's been a long time in Sacramento since we have announced new service coming, particularly two chunks of good news service within a day of each other. American Airlines, first of all, has announced that they are moving terminals. They are moving from the new terminal to the old, so they will be moving from B to A later in the month of March. So keep an eye out for that. The signage will change at the airport. But for now, very important if you're flying on American Airlines, they will be joining their merger partner, U.S. Airways, in the older terminal in Sacramento in about a month. For its terms of service updates, Southwest has added a flight to Dallas that is going to start on in first week of April to Love Field. This is important not only for folks who want to get a more convenient way to get to downtown Dallas as opposed to being out at DFW, but the important thing is that this flight leaves early in the morning, gets to Dallas a little before noon, and will connect with everything that's that Southwest has going in a southeasterly direction. The return flight leaves Dallas at 6:20 in the evening and gets into Sacramento at 8 o'clock. So a very good flight to connect and will provide you with more opportunities with more competitive rates. If you're looking at a Delta flight through Atlanta or a United flight through Houston, now you'll have or American through Dallas, you'll also have Southwest through Dallas. And Sacramento is getting their first ever nonstop flights to Boston. JetBlue has announced that starting on June 18th, they will offer a daily flight four times a week, Monday, Thursday, Friday, and Sundays. It is only for the summer travel season. The flight the flight is a red-eye flight from Sacramento, leaves at 9:40 in the evening, gets to Boston at 6 a.m. The Boston flight is a little bit more reasonable times. Coming westbound, it leaves at 5:20 and gets into Sacramento a little before 9 o'clock in the evening. So if you're looking to go to Boston in the summertime, you will have an extra option, a good option, because you'll be able to go nonstop if you can put up with that red-eye thing, or you can come one way home from Boston in the late afternoon and be able to avoid making that connection. You can turn a 9-hour flight into a 6-hour flight. Okay, from San Francisco comes word that the city may be ending the days of the talking tour bus driver. Indeed, a member of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors has introduced legislation that would prohibit bus drivers from narrating tours while driving. Can't say that I would be against that. No sports leisure trips are ever narrated. You know, last summer, Gwen, we did the Magic Bus. And they have a driver, but the driver doesn't narrate. There's a narrator on board. And heaven forbid, in San Francisco, with those streets being as difficult as they are to navigate, trying to talk into a microphone or hold a microphone and drive with one hand.
I agree.
Yeah, that it would seem to me that would be more than just a little bit dangerous. So under this proposal by Supervisor Norman Yee, you will not be able to drive and talk at the same time. You'll have to have separate people, which is probably a good idea anyways. Major museums in the United States are going to prohibit selfie sticks. You know those things that you can get where you can take, it gives you an extension to be able to take a selfie. It's the most ridiculous thing to come along in a long time. The Museum of Modern Art in New York City, the Guggenheim and the Frick Collection, as well as the Hirshhorn Museum and the entire Smithsonian Collection in D.C. are banning the selfie sticks. So you cannot take them into the museum. And if you're caught with one taking a picture, they will politely, or perhaps not as so politely, ask you to leave. So you cannot take your selfie sticks into major museums, which is met with three positive votes here in the studio. And finally, in the travel news, here in California, we are about to get a new museum scheduled to open in the fall of 2015. It is LA's newest. It is called The Broad. The reason it is called The Broad is because it will contain the contemporary connection of Eli and Edith Broad. And it's artworks all the way up through the 50s, all the way through the 80s. The museum will open sometime this fall. So Los Angeles getting a new museum. Doesn't tell me here where it's located. I'll have to do some work on that and get back to you and tell you a little bit more about that. So you can go to travelguysradio.com for information on any of those news stories. Yes, Miss Gwen.
Yes, I wanted to mention that Aer Lingus started last April in having nonstops over to Ireland from San Francisco, but they're starting daily service to Ireland. I thought everybody would like to know that.
So, yeah, just in time for St. Patrick's Day. That's Gwen Duncan, who is in studio today with me replacing Tom Romano, here to help out a little bit on a day when Tom is out of town. That's the travel news for today. When we come back, we are going to talk to Carol Ross. Carol is with the Portland Rose Festival. Some of you are familiar with the big Rose Parade that goes on in Los Angeles every year. Carol is part of a Rose Festival in Portland that takes place in June every year. She'll tell us about that when we come back. This is the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK.
It's the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, along with Mark Hoffman to my left. And here in Sacramento, well, for that matter, a lot of times through up and down California, when you talk about the Rose Parade, the first people think about is the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. But here on the Travel Guys, we actually include another Rose Parade, Mark.
A second Rose Parade, absolutely. One that is, in its own right, just as spectacular and as wonderful to see as the granddaddy of all Rose Parades. This must be the grandma of all Rose Parades. It's the Portland Rose Festival in Oregon. It's held every June, and we have Carol Ross with us. And Carol is with the Rose Festival in Portland. Hi, Carol.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on today.
Sure.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys. Carol is a return guest. Carol, the Rose Parade is gearing up for its annual event in Portland again this year in June. What's the theme? Tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. So our annual theme is the new thing we can talk about every year. And for 2015, our theme is Bloomin' Good Time. And that's because we like to show everyone who comes to Portland a blooming good time for the Rose Festival, and this year will be no different. We're going to put a great parade on the streets this year. We're excited to have a lot of our old float sponsors back who put really great floats in the parade, like Alaska Airlines and Fred Meyer and Portland General Electric. They always do some really nice float presentations. And, of course, you probably already know this, but those floats follow kind of the same regulations as the Pasadena Parade. They have to be covered with all natural materials, so that means lots of flower petals, lots of rice, lots of little itty-bitty seeds, and lots of really interesting organic things that make the floats come to life. They give them a dimension that lifelike, and it's really a lot of fun.
Carol, the parade in Southern California has been going on a long time. Does the Portland Parade have a similar history?
Well, we've been around, this will be the 108th year of the Grand Floor Parade. It all started back in 1905 when Portland hosted the Lewis and Clark Exposition, which was the 100th anniversary of the expedition. And Portland mayor was so excited to have a million people come to Portland back in the day before you could jump on an airplane and come here. So he decided we should have an annual Rose Carnival, and out of that, the Rose Festival was born. So in 1907, the first parade went down the streets with rose-covered automobiles and horse carriages and things like that, and we've been doing it ever since.
Carol, one of the things that really is very unusual about the Grand Floral Parade there that you have compared to, let's say, Pasadena, and I was very intrigued by this when we spoke a couple of years ago, and that that you can actually view the parade in a location where you're indoors as the parade travels through a building. Can explain again to our listeners what that's all about?
Of course. In fact, we are of the belief that we have the only parade that passes through a building. The visionaries about 60 years ago who built Portland's Memorial Coliseum put two giant doors on each end. They had the parade in mind when they did that. And so parade lines up. It gets all queued up out one end of the Coliseum, and every single entry passes through. So folks can sit inside. They're covered. They're weatherproof. They've got the announcers and the restrooms and all those great amenities, and they get to see the entire parade right at the beginning when it's fresh and beautiful.
And Tom, it is a little, June is still a little bit in the danger zone for Portland weather. You know, it can be really spectacular in Portland in June, or it can rain, which it does on occasion. And it tends to rain on parade day for some unknown reason. So that indoor seating thing is so, and Carol mentions one thing that's really important when it comes to indoor seating for a parade, the restroom situation. Because if you need to go in the middle of the parade, it's indoors and it's warm and it's clean and, you know, you can even get a cup of coffee if you want to. So it's a slightly less adventurous, but it's a little more protected. Carol, tell us about some of the other events besides the parade that are part of the Rose Festival.
Well, the Rose Festival is 108 years old, but the Rose Society, the Portland Rose Society, has been around even longer. They hold their competition of cut roses called the Spring Rose Show. That's happening during Rose Festival weekend. We also have our sister city of Kaohsiung, Taiwan, does their dragon boat races right out on the Willamette River, right in the middle of everything on parade weekend.
How and cool we is our, that?
I know.
Dragon and, boat races?
Yeah, yeah.
I right didn't know about. I didn't know about this. I'm going to have to make sure that Scott Angeletti, our sports leisure guy who has the Portland Rose trip, knows about that for sure. That sounds like
yeah.
fun.
Yeah, well, I think he has plans for the group to visit the waterfront, and you can see the dragon boats right from the waterfront.
I guess, Tom, this would be a point in time when we could mention to folks who are listening that if you'd like to go to the Portland Rose Festival this summer, what are the dates, Carol, this June?
Well, the Grand Foil Parade will be on Saturday, June 6th.
Okay. And if you'd like to go to the Rose Festival and you'd like to see the parade Carol's talking about and the flower show and the outdoor gardens and maybe even those boat races she was just referring to, Sports Leisure Vacations, the sponsor of this program, has a trip. You can go to travelguysradio.com, and there is a link right there not only to the Rose Festival itself, so if you'd want to plan an independent trip, you can do that. Or if you'd like to go with Sports Leisure, we have a three-day, two-night package where you can go up and see the parade and some of the other activities with us. So a couple of options to get up to the parade. Carol, anything else that we should know before we cut you loose?
Just want to say if you're not able to come during Grand Foil Parade weekend, we do have 3 weeks of great events. We actually start doing things Memorial Day weekend, so come see us.
And the roses are in bloom, Tom, in June. You go to that International Rose Garden that they have, and if the weather is nice, it's just a spectacular place to be if you love flowers. And if you don't, it's still a spectacular place to be.
And, Mark, when the weather is nice, because my crystal ball says sunny and 70 degrees. So
awesome.
Thank you. Carol Ross from the Portland Rose Festival. Thanks, Carol, for a little bit of your time today. We appreciate it. We'll see you in June.
Thank you. Thank you both.
And don't forget now, travelguysradio.com for details on the Sports Leisure Vacation trip up there and all about this silly radio show, too.
Thank you, Thomas. Now, you're probably just a little bit confused because you're saying, wait a minute, Mark said that Tom wasn't in the studio, but wasn't that just Tom there? And so you're going to hear Tom in the second half of the hour, too, because sometimes we record interviews during the week and then play them on the weekend. So even though Tom can be in two places at the same time, in studio with me now is Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel. Welcome, Gwen.
Hello.
And she's here with the deal of the week, which relates to St. Patrick's Day. This
yes,
time we thought it would be fun to talk about a deal to actually go to Ireland for St. Patrick's Day. That's something that we have done at Sports Leisure Vacations a couple times over the years. What do you got for us?
Well, I have checked with several suppliers to see who had availability still for 2016. There's mm-hmm. tons of it for 2016. But for 2015, I've got some that are as low as $8.99 for if it's a fly drive.
Wow, so that's airfare from San Francisco?
No.
No?
No. The airfare, with airfare, it's $16.49 from New York.
Ah, from New York.
Okay, these are.
But you mentioned that we can now go to Ireland every day from San Francisco nonstop,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so they add that. And the airfare generally from San Francisco is running about $1,000 right now.
Okay, so
right
off now. Season. So, and you know what I tell people who are thinking about going to Ireland at this time of the year is they say, well, the weather will suck. And I say, well, but the weather in Ireland is only going to be about 10 degrees difference between
that's right.
winter and summer, and it rains a lot anyway. So if you're waiting for good weather in Ireland, it's waiting for good weather in Alaska. You might as well not
right.
go.
That's right. It rains every day.
Okay, so they can go to your website.
Then go to my website, and I've got about 3 deals that I'm going to be posting, so
okay.
they can be able to look at those.
All right, to find those. And then also, we mentioned at the top of the hour that we wanted to talk a little bit to folks about how do you know a good deal from a bad deal? And you have 3 points here that I think are worthy of talking about. One of the things you want to look about at is what is included. Now, that seems really simple, but optional things like evening entertainment and dinners and stuff like that, that it is customary for tour directors on international tours to peddle those to the people, just like the ships peddle them to you on board.
You got it.
And
those things can add $50 or $100 or $150 a day.
They absolutely can. And you want to look at the brochures, because if they've got bold, that means that you actually get off the bus and get into the place. If it's italics instead, that means that you get to just take a look at it and take a picture as you drive by. You know, I mean, you have to really learn how to, what is included in
the trip. The difference between having tickets to tour the castle and having the bus stop outside
looking
so you can take
it
a picture. Air itineraries, you mentioned, the cost of one itinerary might be lower than another, but, and this goes for domestic trips or any kind of trip.
This goes for any kind of trips. A lot of people don't realize it, but if that if the plane stops more than once, they're paying extra PFC, so it costs you more if the plane stops several times.
And not only that, you're adding, you could be adding a 2 or 3 hour layover.
Or more.
Or more to your itinerary, so even though one fare, you got to decide, is the lower fare worth the extra aggravation? Plus, if you're connecting twice, that's two opportunities for your bag to get late and two chances for you to miss your connection. And so
so you have to weigh, what is your time worth?
Gwen, the third item on your list here about how to tell a good deal from a bad deal is the location of the hotel. And that's going to make a big difference. In when we go to New York City, we stay at a Times Square hotel. And that means that we pay a tremendous premium over staying in downtown Manhattan or over in New Jersey or on the East Side or something.
And is it worth it? Yes.
Same thing with major, with any major city. Whether if you're in the core of the city in a great location where you can walk for things, you're going to pay a premium for that.
Absolutely. You find that in New York. You can go in at JFK. You can get rooms for $150, and that's going to cost you $300 in downtown.
Wow.
But it's worth it because it's not just money, but it's time that it takes you to get in there to enjoy it. Half your vacation is going back and forth.
And some of it depends on your mobility availability, too.
Absolutely.
If you can get around easily on your own, if you're a walker who readily explores a mile or a mile and a half away from your hotel, if walking five blocks to a bus or a subway stop is not an issue for you, then that hotel may be a bargain. And Washington, D.C. is a great example of this. They have a great subway system, and you can get to places very easily from the suburbs if you're in the right place. But if you're in the wrong place and there's no train nearby, then you're pretty much skewered.
And in Europe, it's really, really kind of a
Your website again is?
GoCYTravel.com.
All right. When we come back after the news, we're going to take you on some train rides around Northern California. We're going to take you to Yosemite National Park, and we're going to give you an opportunity to win two tickets to a very special event at KVIE on Thursday, the 26th of March. It features Frankie Moreno, who was Entertainer of the Year in Las Vegas, food and beverages and all kinds of stuff. And your opportunity to win those tickets comes up at about 3:50 this afternoon. The news is next. We are the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK.
We're the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. Mark, you recognize this sound?
Ah, yes. That's the sound of a train.
It's actually the sleep train whistle, but you know what I mean. You figured that was the only one I had easily available is the one they use on that commercial.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. I should have known that. I probably heard that 10,000 times over the years.
Now you can introduce our guest.
All right. Speaking of trains, we have with us Chris Hart. Chris is the president of three railroads, one up in the Sierra, one here in Sacramento, and, of course, the very famous skunk train up in that goes from Fort Bragg to Willits. Chris, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's nice to have you on board, so to speak. Excuse the pun. Chris, you have three trains. How is it that a man becomes the president, the part of a companies that own three different railroads?
Well, I certainly didn't go to college with the intention of getting involved. It's one of those things you just kind of fall into it. One day my brother called me up to help out with a project, and next thing you know, 16 years later, I'm running three trains. So you never know what's going to happen.
All right. Have you always been a train guy? I mean, are you, you know, a person, one of those guys who has a fascination with trains, or just something that happened?
It just sort of happened. I like trains just as much as anyone, but it wasn't necessarily a pat. Just sort of a series of circumstances happened. Some people recruited my brother to help them with a railroad, and then he recruited me. And then we just sort of just focused on it. And it's actually kind of neat what happened. We ended up pulling together a lot of the people we went to, friends from college and family. And together we just kind of grew this company and you know, tripled in size.
Chris, tell us a little bit about, you've got a train that runs here in the Sacramento area that probably some of the folks who are listening to this broadcast have been on or have thought about being on. For those who have thought about being on it, tell them a little bit about what's available here in Sacramento.
Well, the Sacramento River train, we board in West Sacramento or in Woodland. I launched that train back in 2005. And we do a whole series of different sort of special events on the train. For the adults, we'll make romantic dinners. We'll do murder mystery shows. For the adults, we also have a series of beer tasting trains and also the Old Vine Express that features 31 Yolo County wines. And you usually have live music on those.
Chris, give me an idea of what the train costs for a dinner train in Sacramento.
The most expensive tickets would be about $100. And that would be for, like, if you're going to have a full sit-down three-course meal with tax and gratuity, entertainment, and a lot of your beverages are taken care of, and you know, basically everything's included with a few exceptions for about $100. Some of our other trips, though, are closer to $50 or $60. They just don't have quite as many amenities. Like, for example, like the beer tasting train would be $45.
Now, do you run sightseeing trips also, or just meal-related trips?
Well, that's actually one of the new things we're going to be adding, is that while we do things year-round, you know, kids' trips and daytime trips, most of our trips have always focused on either a meal or entertainment. The thing we're working on right now, and we'll announce the details in about a month or so, is that we're going to do a series of excursion trains that we will be running several times every week, perhaps year-round. And so we're just putting the finishing touches on that, but we'll be launching it this year.
Chris, I know that in the Sierra foothills in the springtime is my favorite time to visit the foothills because everything is green, and we've had some rain, fortunately, this year, so hopefully things will be green. Maybe we'll get another monsoon or two before this is all over. You have a train that is known for covering an area that offers a lot of wildflowers in the spring up in the foothills. Tell us about the Sierra Railroad.
Yeah, the Sierra Dinner Train, that is actually where my brother first got involved in the railroad back in 1995, and then I got involved in 99. It was when we launched that train. It's a very old railroad. It's been around since 1897, and the Sierra Dinner Train is what we launched, and it was actually the home of the first dinner train anywhere in North America. It was running back in the 70s, and so when we got involved in this, it was sort of a no-brainer to launch a new train back on those tracks that used to do it for so many years. So we launched it, and we operate on that train also year-round, mostly on the weekends, and that's primarily lunches and dinners. And you're right, the spring, the California poppies and all the wildflowers is a terrific time to ride.
And Chris, your third train is one that a lot of people have heard the name over the years, and I have to begin by asking, how did the skunk train get its name? And if you live in the Central Valley, skunks are not necessarily our friend.
No. So the skunk train is one of the very oldest railroads in America, built in 1885. For a long time, they had these railroad cars that would go through these self-propelled motor cars, and they used just horrible-smelling fuel concoction. The saying was that you could smell the cars before you saw them. And so they started calling them in a joking way skunks or super skunks. And so the name stuck. And, you know, 100 years later, that's now the name of the railroad.
Tom, have you ever ridden the skunk train up in Fort
Bragg? I have not ridden the skunk train. I've done some train excursions, but that one's on my to-do list.
It really is, I think, the best scenic train ride in California. It's really two different areas, especially if you go in the summer, because when you're over by Fort Bragg, you get very much the coastal climate. And as you get closer to Willits, it can be 100 degrees in the summertime. So it's the kind of train trip that you have to take your long pants and your jacket and switch to your short pants and your T-shirt the second half. But it really is a quality experience, not to mention that Mendocino and Fort Bragg are a wonderful place to visit. One cool thing is that if you go with a group, you can ride the train one way. So Sports Leisure Vacations goes generally every August and has a little itinerary 3 or 4 day trip up there, and you can ride the train one way and your motor coach meets you on the other way. If you have a car, then you're going to have to either do the whole round trip, or you can do halfway trips. Can you still do that, Chris? Halfway trips out of Fort Bragg and Willits?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so there are a lot of different ways that you can enjoy riding the skunk train, but I really recommend to you that you go to Fort Bragg and ride the train out of Fort Bragg. Highway 20 is a tough road to get over there to the coast and stuff. You have to drive slow and be careful. But it's really riding the train through the redwoods and being able to watch them, and just all the beautiful scenery out of Fort Bragg there as the train starts going is really spectacular. Early summer, the scenery is still cool up by Willits too, but it really is a great trip. I consider it, as I said, one of the best scenic train rides in California. And I know my people who go up and ride the train up out of Oakdale every spring and see the wildflowers and stuff are always raving about it. And of course, Chris, you got a train right here in our backyard. Thank you, sir, for all of that information. If you folks go to travelguysradio.com, we will have a link for you there to all of the three trains that Chris is a part of, and we'll get you on board and headed down the road. You can make your own train trip. Heck, you could spend a whole week just riding railroads around Northern California. Chris, thanks for being a part of the Travel Guys today.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris. You know, when I was a young guy, I worked for months, maybe years, to learn how to do this. See if I can do it. You ready?
Yeah.
Hold on.
We are the Travel Guys. More to come on KFBK.
Yeah, Thomas Romano there with his train whistle. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do with that guy, but Tom, as I mentioned, Tom is away today. Gwen Duncan has joined me in studio. Heath Buckmaster is here from KVIE, and he will be with us after the break. But now we move from trains to Yosemite National Park.
Travel Guys on the radio, Mark and Tom, with brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, one of my favorite commercials that we ever did together was for Yosemite, and it was because you said, you know, Tom, to make this commercial real, I'm going to drag you to Yosemite. We're going to drive up there, and we're going to stand at the base of the waterfalls right there in the park, and we're going to describe what we see. And I think people are going to like that. And
I remember when we did that. I remember going out to where John Muir's cabin was, one of my favorite spots there, and cutting a commercial. Yeah, that was really kind of cool. So if you go to Yosemite, it helps to go with someone who really knows the park and can show you around. At Sports Leisure Vacations, we have who we call our resident tree hugger, Ramona Gooch, who joins us on the line. Ramona, Tom, is a person who visits Yosemite several times a year with groups. She just came back from Yosemite this past weekend, went up to the Ahwahnee Hotel. Ramona, how are things in Yosemite National Park?
Yosemite National Park was absolutely beautiful this last week. We had some rain while we were there, which gave us some waterfalls. Yosemite Falls and Bridalveil Falls were flowing again, and you know, it was great because I actually got to see the curtain or the veil on Bridalveil Fall, and it was just spectacular.
Wow.
Not very many people there this time of year, so it's a great time to go between now and, you know, about the 1st of May. It's a great time to go because we don't have quite as many folks coming in there, so you can get out on the trails.
Now, Ramona, I know that there are a couple of different options. I mean, when you go to Yosemite Park, of course, a lot of people like the outdoor experience, and you can camp. There are lots of campgrounds. There are tent cabins, which is kind of a civilized way of camping, kind of pretend camping, if you will. But then there are a couple of hotel accommodations within the park, too. Tell folks a little bit about those.
We did just visit the Ahwahnee Hotel. We had the fabulous Sunday brunch that is held there. The Ahwahnee Hotel is just spectacular, not only in it, the beauty of it, but also just the history of the hotel. Did you know that it was a naval hospital at one time?
No, I didn't know.
Had no idea.
You could actually take a historical tour of the Ahwahnee Hotel. Which,
now, are those available, Ramona, to folks who just show up and you go into the Ahwahnee and ask about a guided tour of the hotel?
You can. They have some set times for the tours, and they tell you about the history, and you find out about the ski clubs that are there, and you find out about the history as a naval hospital.
Now, the Ahwahnee tends to be a little bit upscale and a little bit expensive. If I don't want to camp out and I don't want to spend the $300 or $400 it's going to cost me a night to stay at the Ahwahnee, what are the accommodations like at Yosemite Lodge?
You know, Yosemite Lodge is one of my favorite places to stay down there because you are right there at the base of the falls. It's actually called Yosemite Lodge at the Falls. You can sit outside your room in the evening, and you can just watch and hear the waterfalls, as well as some of the rooms have nice views of the meadows. They're modest accommodations. They're not fancy, but they are certainly comfortable, and they are right there in the hub. And what else is important is the shuttle stop, which will take you, you know, if you're traveling there on your own, you can just park your car, get on the shuttle. It'll take you into the village, so you can visit the Ansel Adams Gallery, or you can visit the Indian Village there at the visitor center, or you can even take the shuttle out and around to where you can get on the trails to go out to Vernal Falls or my favorite Muir Lake.
You know, Ramona, about a year ago or so, there were fires up in the Yosemite area, and I know a lot of people, you know, that haven't been or haven't seen a whole lot of follow up since then. Tell us, is all of that had no impact on the? Tell folks how that, whether it did or did not have any impact on Yosemite Park as a whole.
The fires don't have an impact on your visit to Yosemite. It certainly, I know if you go up through Groveland up on 120, you can expect to see some beautiful wildflowers this year, I anticipate, because that is the benefit after a fire, is the wildflowers are generally spectacular. And I think we've probably had enough rain this year to kind of kick those off.
Tom, you see that you can tell Ramona is a true tree hugger. See, because she's talking about the wildfires, the advantage of fire. Ramona worked in Sequoia National Park for many years, where those beautiful giant redwood trees are. And one of these days, we'll have her on to talk a little bit about that park. Ramona, we should tell folks who are thinking about going camping in Yosemite Park that those campsites are very, very coveted and very sought after. So you need to make your reservations early in the season if you're planning on going camping at Yosemite. Ditto if you plan on staying in the park in some of the hotel accommodations. They are very limited. Demand is quite high. They're not inexpensive. There are some nice hotels just outside the park entrance that will be a little less expensive but a little less convenient to Yosemite. Of course, there's a shuttle bus service that takes you around the valley. So once you get there, you park your car and then you get around either by foot or by bicycle or by shuttle bus, so that that poor little valley can't handle a whole tremendous amount of traffic. Ramona, any other quick tips you can think of for folks who might be thinking of a trip to Yosemite Park this spring?
Get to the park this spring, take your binoculars and take your camera. It's absolutely beautiful down there.
It's amazing how many people live 4 hours from one of the most spectacular places on the planet and have never been there. If you go to travelguysradio.com, we'll put a link up to Yosemite National Park so you can get more information on the park if you'd like, and we'll also put a link to the Sports Leisure Vacations trip. Ramona is taking a group to Yosemite. If you think you'd like to go to Yosemite National Park with a true national park lover, why, Ramona would be happy to take you, and you can go with her this spring, and you can go to travelguysradio.com and see the link for that trip, too. Thank you, Ramona, for an update on Yosemite.
You're welcome, Mark. Take care.
Ramona Googe from Yosemite National Park. All right, it's time now to play Let's Win Something on the Travel Guys. This is what we have to give away. We have two sets of two tickets to a KVIE event called Uncork, an evening with Frankie Moreno. It is on Thursday, March 26th. So during this break, you need to go to your calendar, make sure you're available on Thursday evening, March the 26th, for this event, because you wouldn't want to win tickets after all to something you couldn't go to or you didn't have plans to give the tickets to somebody. 921-1530 and 800-834-1530. Once again, the numbers 921-1530 and 800-834-1530. We're going to take four contestants online. This is the game. You'll have 20 seconds to tell us why you deserve to win one of these pairs of tickets. There'll be four contestants. There'll be two winners. We'll announce them before we go off the air. So if you call in to 921-1530 or 800-834-1530, you need to be prepared. You'll have 20 seconds to tell us why you deserve to win these tickets. So this is kind of an interactive thing. The two people with the best answers will win tickets to see Frankie Moreno at the KVIE Studios, right? Keith, it's at the KVIE Studios, yes?
It is at the KVIE Studios. We're going to turn our studio into a classy 50s, 60s Elvis Rat Pack cocktail hour.
Cool.
It's going to be fantastic.
Sounds like fun. If you want to win, 921-1530, 800-834-1530, we'll take four contestants. You need to tell us why you deserve these tickets. We'll be right back after the break. This is the Travel Guys on KFBK.
On the
Welcome back to the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman here. Tom Romano has flown the coop for this weekend. He'll be back with me in studio next Sunday. Gwen Duncan has kindly come in and shared her expertise live and in person. And sitting across from me is Keith Buckmaster from KVIE. Hey, Heath, what is your title at KVIE?
I'm the director of on-air fundraising and special events.
Ah, you're the director of getting money from people in various different ways.
And then using it to make powerful, amazing PBS programs.
And I will just say, well, all kidding aside, that our local PBS station is, I'm a huge fan of it. Sports Leisure Vacations have been a big supporter for a long time, but that's because it is television worth watching. I mean, it really, truly is. And I was telling you before we went on the air that even up in Seattle, watching the PBS station up there the other night, and it was just a really quality programming and really good stuff. All right, we have our four contestants online. So if you're online and you're listening to us, just hang on for a second here. The way this is going to work is you're going to have 20 seconds to tell us why you deserve to win tickets to this event. On March the 26th, Heath, tell us about this event. And I'm assuming that if folks do not have, if they don't win tickets today, that you have some tickets for sale, perhaps.
We do. So KVIE.org/uncorked has all of the information about the event, including our sponsor information, AT&T and 1022. It's going to be a great evening of food and wine and amazing music. Frankie Marino is a Las Vegas superstar. He's a headliner. He's been there for some time. He's got a really great vibe of Elvis and classy Rat Pack, 50s, 60s feel, but very upbeat, energetic.
He was Entertainer of the Year in Las Vegas, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're bringing him to the KVIE studios, and he's going to do a couple sets of... Now, this says specifically that this is not a seated event.
It's not. Think of it as an after-work cocktail party that you go to.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to be very heavily decorated, lots of food tables and beverage tables, high tops so that you and your friends can mingle together. But Frankie is really about getting the audience up at the stage, mm-hmm. being there present with him. He's very interactive. So seating for this is really not our priority. Our okay. priority is get people there, get them up at the stage, dancing and singing.
Kind of like a mosh pit up there.
Yes,
in the
front. Yes.
Okay, so it's Thursday, March the 26th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the KVIE studio. So we have four contestants online, and what we're going to do here is have a little fun at the end of the show. We're going to go to each contestant. We'll give them 20 seconds. You will hear a countdown the last 5 seconds, and then a buzzer, and at that point in time, you're done. And we'll put you back on hold, go to the next contestant. Once we've got all four, Gwen, Heath, and I will quickly judge the winners in the studio and announce the winners. If you are one of the contestants, stay. And once you go back on hold, please stay on hold until we come back, or we at least until we announce the winners. And then if you're not a winner, I guess you can go away. But if you're a winner, stay on the line so that we can get you your tickets. So if we're ready to go, let's go to line one. And talk to Dave in Sacramento. Dave, you have 20 seconds to tell us why you should win two tickets to Uncorked at KVIE.
Okay, well, I should win the tickets because if I get the tickets, I work for a nonprofit organization that serves kids with mental disabilities in the local Sacramento area. And if I win the tickets, I am going to give the tickets away to one of our families. So that mom and dad can take a little break. Usually parents that have special kids may have some, extra efforts and time put into parenting. So a little bit of a break and enjoying a good time is useful for them. And we also have some low income.
Okay. All right. That's Dave. Dave says he will give the tickets away if he wins them. That's commendable. Line two is Bob. Let's put Dave on hold. We'll go to Bob in Roseville. Bob, tell us why you should win two tickets.
Okay. I'd like to surprise my wife with an evening listening to Frankie Marino to celebrate her 10th year anniversary of being cancer-free and surviving breast cancer.
Well, that's boy, we got some sob stories here or what? All right, Bob, hold on
the
line.
This is going to be tough.
All right, I'm trying to put Bob on hold. Hold ready. Okay, I'm trying to hit Bob on hold, and then we're going to go to George in Rancho Cordova. George is our next contestant. You there, George?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, buddy, you got 20 seconds to tell us why you deserve to win these tickets.
Okay, I've been disabled veteran for years, since 1975, and from Vietnam. And my caregiver, she's been with me for years, and she's come down with cancer. It's kind of in a remission, but I'd love to take her on a cruise or something, you know?
George, do you have a way to get to KVIE if you win the tickets?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. That's all we needed to know. Let's see if we can get...
Pulling the heartstrings.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. This is going to be real difficult. All right, let's go to Georgia on line four here. Georgia, you got 20 seconds to tell us why you deserve to win the tickets to KVIE.
Oh, I would love to win those tickets. I just lost my husband not long ago, and I need a night out, and I just love Marino, and he's a real Elvis, and my daughter would go with me, and I just need to get out and about.
And you have a way to go? You can go on the 26th of March.
Oh, sure. Oh. I'm just in Sutter Creek.
all the way from Sutter Creek. All right. So put Sutter Georgia Creek. Back on hold here. So now we've got four contestants. So my two judges, you need to tell me who the winners are here. Who do you think?
Oh,
we've got Dave from the nonprofit, Bob with his 10th anniversary of his wife being cancer-free. George is a disabled veteran. And then Georgia at the end.
Well, I love that Dave is going to donate this and works for a nonprofit. You know, KVIE is a nonprofit, so that certainly makes me feel good. You know, who doesn't want to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of being cancer-free with their wife?
Dude? Uh-huh. What do you think, Gwen?
Are you kidding
Gwen?
Me?
Gwen, you got to pick one. Who do you like of those four?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to go with George the Disabled.
All right, the two winners are Dave and George. Thank you, Bob and Georgia, for calling. Four compelling stories. Our winners hold on the line. We'll take care of you. We will be back next Sunday at 3.